You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
I've been to Australia a few times, and when you're going to visit Australia, people warn you about the spiders and the crocodiles and the sharks, but no one warns you about the electricians. Ryan Andrew King may be Australia's most famous electrician. There's no maybe about it. He is Australia's most famous electrician. Ryan Andrew King makes headlines. Headlines like this one from the July 16th edition of the Brisbane Times. Electrician who cut off men's testicles in backyard surgery walks free. King was arrested a year ago after getting caught removing the testicles of a 26-year-old man, which he did in a hotel room, not a backyard, a hotel room. And then he uploaded video to an online eunuch forum, the same online eunuch forum where King met his quote-unquote victim. And I'm putting victim in quotes here for reasons that we'll get to in a minute. King's quote-unquote victim suffered uncontrollable bleeding, as you sometimes do when your balls get cut off, and had to be taken to the hospital, and that's how King came to the attention of the authorities. And it turns out this wasn't the first time King served as a cutter, as men like King are called in eunuch forums. King told his 26-year-old quote-unquote victim that he'd cut 10 other guys, but police were only able to find one other quote-unquote victim, a 65-year-old man, who'd asked King to remove one of his balls and his penis and made a follow-up appointment with King to have his other ball removed. Follow-up appointment that King had to cancel because King was in jail. You know, I record the intro on Monday afternoon, and sometimes I think about everyone out there who listens to the show first thing in the morning on Tuesday. So while we're not big into content warnings around here, we do use them, but we use them sparingly. I gotta say, if you're eating breakfast right now and you're still listening, you might wanna pause the show and maybe listen to the rest after lunch. Anyway, the police, when they went to King's apartment, they found one of that man's balls, the 65-year-old's balls, one of them, in King's freezer. But I got to say, contra the Brisbane Times, King didn't get away scot-free. He was charged with grievous bodily harm and convicted and sentenced to a year in prison and 3 years probation for cutting off the 26-year-old's balls and given a 3.5-year suspended sentence for cutting off the 65-year-old's penis and one of his balls. And then, yeah, he was released because he'd already spent a year in prison awaiting trial. So while he did walk out of court last week, he didn't exactly walk free. Dude spent a year in jail and could be sent back if he violates the terms of his probation, which weren't spelled out in any of the news stories I read, but presumably include, hey, don't cut any more balls or dicks off any other dudes. Maybe King would have gotten a bit of a harsher sentence if it weren't for the victim statements, the statements from the two men that Judge Richard Jones actually had to read out in court. And those victim statements, they were basically rave reviews. One of King's quote-unquote victim said the procedure was a great benefit to my health and well-being, and the other said he was eternally grateful to King for making it possible to enjoy life. Prosecutors, of course, legitimately argued that consent and delight at the outcome on the part of King's victims was not a defense. These sorts of backyard surgeries, amateur surgeries, are inherently dangerous. We can't have hobbyists doing heart transplants in hotel rooms. And I gotta say, increasingly, men who want this done, men who want their testicles removed and have the money, don't need to resort to amateur cutters lurking in eunuch forums. There are surgeons out there who will do this. Some clinics that perform gender confirmation surgeries for trans people, including orchiectomies and nullifications, that is, castrations and removal of the penis, they'll perform these operations for people who identify as non-binary and want their bodies to reflect that they are neither male nor female. But, you know, having spent a little bit of time on these eunuch forums very recently, most of the people on them, most of the guys on them seeking to have their testicles removed aren't NBs. They're kinkies. Some may have body integrity identity disorder. That's people who suffer from a longing to have a healthy limb removed. But most of what I've seen were posts by perverts. And I say that in the sex positive sense of the term. I am pro pervert. I am a pervert. After I am done recording this intro, I'm going to go design a pervert pride flag at myflag.lgbt. So I'm guessing that if one of these guys from one of these forums walked into Align Surgical Associates in San Francisco, where non-binary people can get orchiectomies, and admitted that having their testicles removed was not something they needed to do to bring their body into alignment with their gender identity, but was their ultimate sexual fantasy, I'm thinking they would be turned away, which means cutters, guys like Ryan Andrew King, are going to keep meeting men on eunuch forums who want their balls cut off, preferably by someone who's just as turned on by the idea of cutting someone's balls off as they are turned on by the idea of having their balls cut off. And so that means we may see more victim impact statements in the future, like the ones filed by King's alleged victims. Honestly, I didn't feel bad for King's victims after reading their victim statements. Yet, I walked away from these stories, and I kind of spent a whole day reading about this guy, King, this electrician dude. I was worried that he might have other potential victims out there. And I don't mean the 10 other guys King claimed to have cut that the cops couldn't find. I was worried about other guys named Ryan Andrew King. You know how the internet sometimes makes mistakes? How someone does something terrible and then someone with the same name winds up getting dragged all over Twitter? Well, it turns out I didn't need to worry. I searched Twitter. There are other guys out there named Ryan Andrew King, but none of them are being dragged because none of them are active on Twitter. At Ryan Andrew King posted one tweet in 2012 announcing that he was on Twitter and never posted again. At Ryan King 1, poet, songwriter, vegan, joined Twitter in 2016, posted one tweet, finally saw the end of The Big Sleep, so good, and never posted again. Ryan Andrew King, at Ry Records, musician, essayist, gamer, crocheter, pirate, philosopher. He posted one tweet, the same tweet, twice, two identical tweets within 6 minutes of each other 5 years ago and never posted again. What is it about guys named Ryan Andrew King not being able to commit to Twitter? Oh, and Ry's tweet, someday you'll be that whore again, but no one will want to touch you. Seems potentially problematic, that tweet, depending on who it's aimed at. And it seems crazy unfair, at least to me, that Ry's two identical tweets get to live together forever on the internet, and the balls of that 65-year-old dude missed their one and only chance to be reunited in Ryan Andrew King's refrigerator. Ryan Andrew King, electrician, cutter, Australian, felon. All right, coming up on this week's show, on the micro edition of the Savage Lovecast, tons of your Q's, lots of my A's, and on the magnum edition of the Savage Lovecast, senior sex writer Joan Price is back, and we disagree about the advisability of getting a divorce in your 70s. That's on the magnum that you can subscribe to at savagelovecast.com. Twice as much show, more guests, more calls, and no ads. That is the magnum, Savage Lovecast. And while you're online, don't forget to pre-order your copy of Savage Love from A to Z, an illustrated collection of brand new adults-only essays celebrating the 30th anniversary of Savage Love, my sex advice column. Go to savagelovecast.com/shop to pre-order your copy today. Books go on sale September 21st. And now, let's get to the show. This episode of Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Talkspace, online therapy that makes it easy to get extra mental health support. For $100 off your first month, go to Talkspace.com and use the offer code SAVAGE.
This episode of the Lovecast is brought to you by the good folks at Squarespace. They make it easy to build a beautiful website, blog, or online store. Head on over to Squarespace.com/SAVAGE for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code SAVAGE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by omgyes.com, a website devoted to women's pleasure. Check it out and get a discount when you go to omgyes.com/savage.
Hello, Dan. I have a little quarantine sex success story for you. I am 34, non-binary and queer in London, and it isn't easy to find partners in normal times for me, let alone during the pandemic, but, you know, I still try. So one day on Grindr, this blank profile contacts me and we start chatting. I do present myself as non-binary on there, with my androgyny, some makeup, so most people simply ignore me at the best of times, but this one didn't. He's bi in an ethical open relationship with a woman, and he was very honest about it. Up until now, I always tuned down my non-binary side because in London I have a feeling that gay people are very turned off by it. But this time, I felt that this guy was actually attracted to it. So we meet at my place and, Lord, he was stunning. Spanish in his 40s, just gorgeous. I was wearing some makeup, something sexy, which was the first time for me. Can you believe that? So we're sitting in my living room, we're looking at each other, and he says to me, are you disappointed? Because I'm not. I found it so thoughtful, so sweet, and we had some great sex. And after sex, he's standing naked in my room, and I assume he would just put his clothes back on and leave, but he lingers there, and we start chatting. And after a while, he sits back down on the bed and tells me, it's funny, when I fuck women, I always feel like a champion afterwards. But when I fuck with men, I have this guilt and I need to leave as soon as it's done. But with you, I don't feel that way. I don't feel like I have to go. To which I answered, well, maybe it's because I'm just half a man. And we chatted for 2 more hours about him, his life, and mine. It was just so great to find someone who was attracted to me for who I was entirely and not just a fragment of me.
Thank you so much for calling and sharing your terrific and terrifically affirming sex success story. I hope you keep hooking up with this guy. I hope seeing you, you say half man, I hope seeing you helps him overcome whatever guilt he feels, because that's nothing, of course, and I'm sure you caller would agree, nothing for him to feel guilty about. All right, we like to start each week's show with a sex success story, a listener success story before we get to listener problems. A success story can be anything from a great kinky one-night stand to what's working in your long-term committed relationship. Give us a call, share your success story, and we might start next week's Lovecast with it.
Hi, Dan and Nancy and everyone. This is a 30-something-year-old female bisexual from the Northeast. I'm calling with a sort of combo sex success story and question. So I met a man in January, sort of when I was had shed a lot of relationships during the pandemic, and I felt ready for a partner, and I met this man and seemed really compatible, except I've had this really poly, non-monogamous past, and he hasn't had that much sexual exploration. So he was pretty scared that he couldn't really live up to my standards and wasn't as interested in sex as me, and had kind of a slow start in that way. And then now he is the kinkiest motherfucker I have ever been with. And we just bought tons of sex toys, and we're just we fuck all over the place. And it's amazing, but I have parties, you know, with my friends, and it turns out a lot of my friends are people I used to fuck. I mean, in open times and when I met them, and then we sort of, you know, became friends instead. And he can get very, very, very threatened by this and wonders if he can handle it. And, you know, he seems really interested in pushing his boundaries and trying to grow in this way, but he's afraid that he can't. But I guess I talked to my therapist about this, and she was like, well, maybe he should get a therapist to talk about this sort of abandonment and jealousy stuff, because he's had therapists in the past, but not necessarily about that in this relationship. But I was wondering if you had other advice in this circumstance. Guys really opening up, and we're exploring together, and I have, you know, cuddly friendships with a lot of people who I've been sexual with in the past, and I want to help us grow in this way together positively.
The first part of your call, the success story part, reinforces my priors. Two kinds of people you meet at kink events, play parties, the people who were kinky always, the people who were tying themselves up when they were 13 years old, and the people who fell in love with those people. And then being in love with that person, having sexual experiences with that person, growing with that person, awakened to the kinks in them, as seems to be the case with your new and sounds like pretty great partner. The problem here is he has some standard issue, off the rack, lingering, straight guy-ish kind of jealousy issues. That the fact that you've had sex partners in the past and these people are still in your life and that you enjoy them and that your relationships with them are affectionate, even tactile to a certain extent, makes him jealous. And you say that you guys have been processing this. My question for you, the processing, any progress on the process front when you have to process these feelings with him, help him work through his jealousy? Is it getting shorter? Are the conversations, you know, you developing a shorthand? Does he just need a little bit of reassurance? Has it become a base that you tag? Or has it escalated? Is he attempting to leverage jealousy to get all these people out of your life by being inconsolable, by being angry, by being scary, by being jealous? Is this jealousy an emotion that he's experiencing, or is it something that he is weaponizing to control you? If it is the latter, if it continues to escalate, and there's nothing in your call that makes you sound upset, terrified, afraid of him, or under any sort of duress at all. So I doubt this is the case, but if it continues to escalate, if it's getting worse and worse, well, then it's a tactic. Then he's trying to manipulate you with his jealousy to get all of these people who mean something to you, who are important to you, out of your life. People who predate him in your life, out of your life. And yeah, if it's escalating and getting worse, he's got to go. But if it's not getting worse, if it's getting better, even by small increments, you're just having to pay him a little bit more attention, reassure him. But at some point he takes the yes for an answer, that you're still going to be there, that he is at this moment, can't make promises for the next 7 decades, but at this moment, the most important person in your life and your priority. If he takes those yeses for an answer, if he can be reassured, and his need for reassurance, if the time that his jealousy consumes is shrinking, well, then you're on your way. He may get over it. Could help him to speak with a shrink about this shit, about why he feels threatened that you have these people in your life that you've had sexual connections with in the past, who you love and still feel strongly for, and why that's a good sign about you as a person and not a bad sign and not something he needs to be threatened by. Even if your relationship doesn't last forever, that means you could, he could potentially be one of those people in your life a decade from now. And wouldn't he want that if the relationship, God forbid, should end? Yeah, yeah. I always thought it was a good sign when I was dating somebody whose exes still liked them enough to want to have them around. That meant if our relationship was only a success for a year or two, I'd get a friend out of it, social connections out of it, something to carry forward out of it. Maybe a shrink can help him wrap his head around that. But again, if the processing you're doing is showing progress, you're in a good place. If not, if it's getting worse and worse, if the processing is getting drawn out, if it's becoming a battlefield, then you'll have to end it. But I don't think that's the case. I think you would have mentioned that if that was the case. So I think you're on a good path here. I think this is going to work. When it comes to therapy and psychiatry, getting the help you need has never been so simple. When you're able to access your provider from the comfort of your device, it means therapy can be on your schedule. And alleviating the wait times to get an appointment or the travel time to get to an office can free up more time for the rest of your life. Talkspace is so convenient and so accessible, you will feel supported around the clock. Talkspace lets you send and receive unlimited messages with your dedicated therapist in the Talkspace platform 24/7. With Talkspace, you set goals with your therapist and they hold you accountable and make sure you're really progressing. Therapy can help you shift your perspective, find tools to cope in difficult times, and be a guiding light. Talkspace has a huge therapist network. Talkspace has thousands of licensed therapists with years of experience in over 40 specialties, including depression, anxiety, substance abuse, trauma, anger management, relationship issues, food and eating, and so much more. And as a listener of the Savage Lovecast, you will get $100 off your first month with Talkspace. So to match with a licensed therapist today, go to TalkSpace.com. Make sure to use the code SAVAGE, S-A-V-A-G-E, to get $100 off your first month and show your support for the Lovecast. That's SAVAGE at TalkSpace.com.
Hi, Dan, Nancy, and the tech savvy at-risk youth. I'm a 56-year-old cis female, single, in a 3.5-year relationship with a polyamorous man. I'm part of the V. I'm the end of the V. And I'm calling because I'm pretty heartsick, and I'm looking for your advice on how to proceed forward with this relationship at this point. We've all been discussing, he's been married for over 25 years, and he, his wife, and I have been discussing retiring together, actually. He's 65, she's a little over 60, and I'm thinking about retiring in the next year or two as well, and getting a place together. We've done some trial runs by going on a weekend aways, and it worked out great. And then after the pandemic, we hadn't done anything during the pandemic, and after the pandemic, decided to give a big vacation a try. And we went away for a week to a condo and stayed, and it really did not go well. What I learned is valuable. It was a good experiment. It just did not work out in the way I wanted to. I don't think it worked out in the way anyone wanted to. The problem, I think, is that the person that I'm dating is not the person who showed up at that week. He was not comfortable showing me any affection, really even talking to me. And my attempts to talk to him, you know, and loosen up and a peck on the cheek is not going to do it for me. And the occasional visit into my room to have sex at night and then actually some nights never show up, it was just made me feel horrible. It made me feel lonely and sad and shut out. So my question to you is this the point where you call it for this relationship, or is there some way to salvage it and go back to where we were? We Tuesday night date, the every other weekend, the occasional getaways for just he and I, or is this really a sign that I should just end things and, you know, move on and look for a new relationship? I'm not sure I'm into the whole polyamorous thing, to be honest with you, but I was definitely open to giving it a try.
For someone who isn't sure that she's into the whole polyamorous thing, you really gave it a try 3.5 years. That's a college fucking try. That's a long-ass try contemplating retiring with this couple. I wish I could have called you back because I had some follow-up questions for you. You say there were a couple of trial runs, a couple of getaways together. You don't say whether it was the three of you. Sounds like it might not have been. Sounds like this weekend or this week's trip, this big vacation, may have been the first time it was the three of you together under one roof. And that was the trial run. That's a different kind of polyamory. There's actually a name for that kind of polyamory, kitchen table polyamory. That just means that everyone's so comfortable with each other that maybe everybody lives together, or you know, the other partners can be there and sit at the kitchen table and share a meal, make breakfast if they slept over and hang out. And not everyone who can do and enjoys and is cut out for polyamory is cut out for kitchen table polyamory. Could be the case here. Seems to me that you've invested 3.5 years in this. Sounds like you're ready to call it off because this week was so terrible. I think you should at least get to the bottom of why it was so terrible. Why was he being so weird? Why was he treating you so coldly? And if the only variable was the presence of his wife, well, that would seem to be the obvious reason why he was behaving so differently toward you. I would, if I were in your shoes, have a conversation with both of them. They were thinking about retiring with you. That was a decision that all three of you were thinking about making together. And you should be able to put on the table, we did this experiment, we went away for a week together, it made me miserable. And then look at him and say, is there a reason why you were so withholding, so unaffectionate, treated me like a fleshlight a few times in the middle of the night, visited me in the bedroom, fucked me and left? Like, that's not what I want. That's not what I'm signing up for. That's not the kind of relationship we have when we're together. And if it's the case that he just feels self-conscious about being affectionate with you in front of his wife, well, maybe that's something that he can work on and correct. If it's his wife who doesn't want him being affectionate with you in front of her, Well, that may not be something that you guys can solve, but it's certainly something that I think 3.5 years in, you at least have a right to directly address with both of them and confront them about, if this is something that they want, the three of you retiring together, the three of you living together. Could be that this is something that his wife agreed to under duress and isn't very happy about, but was willing to tolerate. He can't ask you to live like that. He can't ask you to live in a house where you are being tolerated and he is being policed, and too much affection directed your way will upset his wife. That's not going to work. And then you either have to return to the way it was Tuesday nights, every other weekend, or if you do want to retire together, separate houses, separate apartments in a retirement community or wherever it is you guys wanted to retire together, not one house, separate domiciles, just like you've got now. But you got to get to the bottom of this. And I think, I don't know, 3.5 years, if this was 3.5 months and you weren't sure about the polyamory thing, I would advise you to call it, to walk away. But 3.5 years, there was something there, something between you and this guy, something more about this relationship, something about this relationship that made polyamory for you, not just something you could contemplate, but something you could do. You've been doing it. And I think you owe it to yourself, you owe it to this relationship, to get to the bottom of why this one week was so disastrous. And once you know the reason, then you can make the call. Medieval map makers often put dragons at the edge of their maps to denote dangerous and unexplored territories. Given how little scientists know about sexual pleasure, it is in many ways the modern equivalent of those old map edges. OMGS represents a path-breaking effort to make new and important discoveries into the nature of human pleasure, especially the natural patterns and what people experience as pleasurable, and share those discoveries in a way that normalizes, validates, and expands everyone's pleasure palette. OMGS, they are creating maps with no dragons at the edges. A new study in the Journal of Sex Research shows how learning about these discoveries on OMGS.com affected 870 women. By empowering users with an extensive and highly accessible library of distinct aspects of sexual pleasure, users got a clearer understanding of what they like and discovered new kinds of pleasure they didn't know they'd like. 95% of the users studied experienced pleasure in ways that felt physically new to them in the first month after using OMGS. Learn about and experience newly discovered kinds of pleasure at omgyes.com and support their important research. Savage Lovecast listeners always get a discount at omgyes.com/savage. Also, we want everyone to know that OMGS is growing and hiring. Right now, they're especially looking for a head of product and lead illustrator. If that's you or that's someone you know, get in touch at omgs.com/careers.
Hey, Dan, Nancy, Yudes. I am a 20-something transgender man, and I have a great sexual relationship with a partner, but I am often on the receptive end of being butt, and I am fine with that. I enjoy it a lot, but I also know that bottom surgery is in my future, and that bottom surgery might involve a vaginectomy. I want to get butt in my life, and to be clear, I love anal, I've experienced anal, and I know how to clean myself out for a session. But I'm curious what day-to-day life and routines are like for somebody who is the receptive partner and only has a butthole to do it in. Just like, what's the routine? What daily maintenance, not special occasion maintenance and planning and life. Yeah, we all learn this in day-to-day life as a queer lesbian, but now things are different.
I guess it all depends on how often you're going to get fucked in the ass, how central to your relationship with your partner penetrative sex is. If you're going to get fucked in the ass 3 or 4 times a day, you're going to be sore a lot. It's a muscle. It gets stronger as you use it. You're not going to wind up incontinent. You're not going to injure yourself so long as you do a lot of anal foreplay and use a lot of lube, but you're going to have to clean out a lot and your butt's not really going to get much of a break. So if the person you're with requires penetrative sex 3 or 4 times a day or 5 times a week, what it's going to be like after you get bottom surgery and the front hole closes for business is you're going to have to clean out a lot. You're going to spend a lot of time in the bathroom douching, perhaps unnecessarily, as Dr. Evan Goldstein, recent podcast guest from Bespoke Surgical, explained to us. You don't always have to clean out. Eat a high fiber diet, get a lot of liquids in your diet, don't eat a lot of junk food, don't subsist on nothing but diet Coke and coffee and garbage. And if you get regular, maybe take some fiber supplements, you take a good regular daily dump at a predictable time, your butt is going to be mostly good to go and you don't need to clean out. And cleaning out too often can wash away a lot of healthy bacteria, can also irritate sensitive skin linings inside your rectum and outside, making you more susceptible to acquiring a sexually transmitted infection or just irritation. And so, yeah, if you don't want to clean out 5 times a week for your partner who expects penetrative sex for you to be the bottom 5 times a week, get regular, take fiber supplements, and get to know your butt. Kind of the rhythm method for the butt. But other than that, I think you know what to expect. You're already getting fucked in the ass. And there are lots of guys out there, lots of cis guys out there, and lots of trans guys out there who are power bottoms who get fucked in the butt all the time, who will tell you it doesn't interfere with their quality of life, that it improves their quality of life significantly. And here's hoping, after you get bottom surgery, which I assume you're getting for a reason, that you're not always the one on the receiving end here in this relationship.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. They make it easy to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store without having massive web design or coding skills. Squarespace is your all-in-one solution for domains, websites, online stores, marketing tools, and analytics. They're kind of like your benevolent partner or co-creator. For instance, with their analytics tools, you can see exactly how many people are cruising into your site, how long they hung out there, what they clicked on, how much they spent, if you're selling stuff. Would you know how to set all that up on your own? No, you would not. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of helpful info and support that Squarespace offers. Head on over to squarespace.com/savage for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code SAVAGE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/savage and use the offer code SAVAGE.
Hey, Dan. 31-year-old cis bi woman living on the West Coast. And I have a question about Instagram etiquette and fuck buddies. I've been with my partner for about 3 years now. And now that we're all vaxxed up, we've been excited to start exploring with others because we are absolutely tired of each other right now, having spent the better part of a couple of years with only each other. And so I met a really great guy on Field. We have now hooked up a couple of times. You know, at first I didn't want to let this bother me too much, but it's been on my mind enough that I figured I had to give you a call. Basically, the first time after we hooked up, I sent the customary, "Hey, thanks, had a great time" text. And he sent a text back. And he also sent back the Instagram profile of a really hot woman he thought that we might have fun with at some point together. I enthusiastically replied that I'd be very interested. And then a couple days later, I added him on Instagram because I thought, well, you know, he sent me someone else's Instagram profile. So I figured that seemed to me something of an invitation to interact on social media. Now, I know a lot of people on apps like Field like to be discreet. So it took him about a day or two to accept my follow request. Totally fine. But then he never followed me back. Now, again, I completely understand the desire for discretion, but don't you think it's a little weird that he sent me someone else's profile? And then, the second time we hooked up, talked frequently about interacting with women on Instagram. Meanwhile, the whole time I'm thinking to myself, is this guy insta-negging me? Is this like a new form of social media fuckboyery that is becoming more and more common? What's interesting is that my partner's take is that this is totally chill and he's just setting boundaries and wants to be, you know, discreet. But my female friend and sometime partner agrees with me that this feels kind of neg-like and is some high school bullshit. And that if you fuck somebody and they talk about social media openly, they gotta follow you back. So I want to know what you think, Dan. Also, he's a regular listener of your show. So if you hear me, I still want to take a dip in that hot tub sometime.
There's a lot of high school bullshit going on here, but it's mostly your bullshit. You're overthinking this. You're overthinking this a lot. That's kind of high school bullshit. You're making up secret rules that this guy is breaking, rules that you haven't shared with him. And instead of asking him, what the fuck is going on here? Why didn't you follow me back? You're asking me, basically in the hallway of the high school we all go to, at the lockers, but loud enough for him to hear the question that you wanted to ask him, you put to your gay friend in the hall. So the guy that you have, you hooked up with at the party or you have a crush on or whatever could overhear you, but didn't hear you asking the question of him directly. So there's a lot of high school game playing going on here, but I think it's mostly your game playing. I don't know why he didn't follow you back. He knows why he didn't follow you back. I could speculate. Maybe he has a primary partner and they have a DADT kind of arrangement and his primary partner follows him on Instagram. And so despite trawling Instagram for other sex partners, which is allowed in the terms of his relationship, he doesn't follow lots of other women so as not to effectively accidentally back into telling his I don't know what the fuck's going on. Could be that. The only person who knows the answer to the question of why this guy didn't follow you and whether he's playing games or started the games that now you are playing is him. He's the only one who knows the answer. And he's a listener, a regular listener. So I would encourage him to please call and share the answer with all of us because now we're all dying to know. It's good, juicy high school gossip.
Hi, Dan. I'm a cis straight late 20s male on the East Coast, and I have a question about a situation I found myself in. So I've been casually hooking up with two women who are my coworkers. Both had asked me to be discreet and not to tell anyone because of the work environment. And both understand that I'm seeing other women and I understand that they're going on dates as well. So it's largely been a DADT thing and I've been being safe, using condoms, etc. And they don't know about each other. Anyway, so a few days ago, I found myself at a party with both of them. And as the party was winding down, Girl A basically asked me to leave to go back to her place. However, I wanted to stay and eventually go home with Girl B. So I kind of made a crappy excuse, and then a little later, before she left, Girl A asked me if I was trying to go home with Girl B, point blank, which I was. But because I wanted to respect Girl B's discretion and privacy, I once again made a crappy excuse that Girl A, even though she was a good sport about it, I definitely got the feeling that she was not buying it. So I understand that this is kind of on me for getting myself into a situation like this, but how can I navigate this sort of situation if it happens in the future? I want to respect both women's discretion and privacy, and I usually subscribe to the DADT policy and just try to avoid the topic, but I do want to be honest and ethical next time if I'm in a situation like this and someone point blank asks me. So help, Dan. What do I do?
You leave. You leave the party. When you arrived at the party and both these women from work that you're sleeping with were there and neither of them knew that you were sleeping with the other, I think the right thing to do at that moment, not just to protect their feelings, not just to keep the discretion ball in the air, but to protect, I guess, your access to these women in the future was to fucking leave so that you wouldn't put yourself in the position of doing what you did, which was hurting one of them, picking one of them in front of the other, prioritizing one of them over the other in such an obvious way that the one who was deprioritized spotted it, noticed it, asked about it, and felt, I guess, second best, second rate, your fallback girl from work that you're fucking. I would be very surprised if that woman, now that she knows you're fucking more than just one woman from work, not just her, and that of all the women, or at least the two of the women that she knows about that you're fucking from work, she is your second favorite. I would be very surprised if that woman kept fucking you. So the right thing to do if you're going to be this kind of a player, the right thing to do when you walked into that party and they both were there was to walk the fuck back out of that party and then circle back to either or both of those women later, not to arrange that sort of a hookup with one of them in front of the other one. That's what I would have told you to do if I was your gay friend at that party, but unfortunately you didn't have a gay friend at that party. So now the women from work, both of them that you're fucking, they know there's more than one, and one of them knows that you like one of them better than the other. Or given choice between them, you would choose the other one. There's nothing you can do to unshit that bed, to unscrew that pooch. Just make a mental note in the future. If you should ever find yourself in a similar circumstance, leave.
Hey, Dan. I'm a 36-year-old lesbian woman, and I'm calling in regards to a lot of bisexual couples being on dating apps and in lesbian spaces. So I haven't been in a relationship in about 4 years. It's been probably about 6 years since I've been on a dating app. I downloaded some lesbian dating apps and some like regular dating apps and hit women seeking women. About one out of every three swipes is a couple with a woman who just came out as bisexual and wants to experiment, or they're looking for a threesome. I find this to be kind of annoying, but you know, moving on. Me and my best friend went out to a lesbian bar we used to frequent a lot before the pandemic hit. It was closed for almost 2 years, opened back up. We go out, great time, women everywhere, dancing, just fantastic. Until about midnight 30, 1 o'clock, and these couples start showing up. Straight men and their presumably bisexual wives. The men were the ones hitting on all of these women, trying to get them to go home with them, talk to their wives, their girlfriends, and it was starting to irritate a lot of the women there, and a lot of people were leaving. Fast forward a couple of weeks, we go to a Queerioke for Pride, an outdoor event. And I was late to the party, so my best friend was sitting there. When I got there, she was very visibly upset, and I asked her what was going on. She said that she had been approached and hit on by two separate men, both saying that, well, my wife thinks you're really attractive, and so do I, and maybe we could hang out and get to know each other better. The first guy, after she told him, I'm a lesbian, and no, he just kind of looked offended and left. And then the second guy that approached her and did the same thing, proceeded to like keep pushing it and like said everything except for you just haven't found the right dick yet. After these experiences, I'm starting to get really fed up with this sort of situation. I feel like these straight guys are using their now bisexual partner women to like infiltrate lesbian spaces. It just seems really uncalled for. Like they're just not reading the room and they're really out of their element. Like as a lesbian, I've had to fight for most of my life just to be like seen and not be seen as like a potential mate if I just had the right dick. And when it comes to bisexuality, like bisexuals seem to have to fight really hard to not be as seen as these like sluts who fuck everyone all the time. Like if you're poly, great, but go into poly queer spaces, not just into lesbian bars and stick your dick where it doesn't belong. Am I being too sensitive about this issue, or do they really just need to stay the fuck out of lesbian spaces?
There are 21 lesbian bars left in the continental United States. As Leah Delaria explained to us recently on the Savage Lovecast, the lesbian bar project, trying to save the lesbian bars and not save them for straight guys to bring their girlfriends, their bi girlfriends, their queer girlfriends to at 1 o'clock in the morning looking for a woman to have a three-way with. That's not what lesbian bars, lesbian spaces, as rare as they are, it's not what they're for. I think it's better that opposite-sex couples who are looking for a bi woman or a lesbian woman who wants to hook up with an opposite-sex couple, better for them to get online, better for them to get on dating apps where you can quickly send them packing. You just swipe them away and they're gone. Harder to do in a lesbian bar at 1 a.m. if a whole bunch of opposite sex couples show up. Harder to do in a queer space when straight guys show up with that kind of straight energy where they just don't take lesbian or no, and sort of the same thing there, for an answer. God, that's fucking annoying. You're right to be annoyed. Straight guys with bisexual or lesbian girlfriends, are often put in the position where their lesbian, well, not lesbian, their bi girlfriends want them to make it happen for them. Their newly out bi girlfriends want the boyfriend to make these connections because guys are the initiators, because guys initiate. That's what guys are supposed to do. So it's not always the case when the guy is out there trying to find a girl to hook up with him and his girlfriend that he's pushing her into it or that it's all about him and his desires. A lot of newly out bisexual women are really shy and aren't used to being the quote-unquote aggressors. And they will go out with their boyfriends and expect their boyfriends to do what boyfriends do, which is to initiate, to be the aggressors. And any guy who does that in a lesbian space, in a way, has outed himself as someone who has no right to be in a lesbian space, to be bringing that kind of straight male energy and that straight male gaze into a lesbian space is going to ruin it for the lesbians that attracted him and his girlfriend to that space in the first place. They should know enough. And if any of you out there listening are straight guys with newly out bi girlfriends who want to go to the lesbian bar and see what might happen, you should know enough that at the very least your girlfriend is the one who's going to have to make the approach and you're going to have to hang back. But yeah, caller, that sucks. I don't want to be accused of gatekeeping, but I think straight guys, even bi guys, might want to err on the side of staying the fuck out of lesbian bars at 1 o'clock in the morning, which is prime pair off time at a hoppin' dance club or hookup bar, and bursting in at 1 o'clock in the morning to try to take advantage of that energy and find a woman for you and your girlfriend. Yeah, it's just a shitty, inconsiderate, entitled, privileged thing to do. And the kind of guy who would do that thoughtlessly is not the kind of guy who deserves to watch his girlfriend get it on with some hot dyke from the lesbian bar. So, yeah, not okay. Me saying it's not okay is not going to keep these guys off dating apps for lesbians and bi women. You're going to have to swipe left. You're going to have to shut it down, you and the other lesbians in that space. When you feel it reaches that tipping point, you're either going to leave or you're dykes. Get in their faces. Tell them to get the fuck out. All right, before we get to your response calls, let's read your tweets. Kuwai Phillip tweets, gotta thank at Fake Dan Savage and his fascinating guest at John H. McWhorter for introducing my ears to the likes of theatrical subjugation and the titillation it brings. I love that simple role-playing has now been elevated to the degree that it requires a Columbia PhD to name it. And what a great name Professor McWhorter gave it, theatrical subjugation. I wish I had thought of that. In response to my comments about people in red states who refuse to get vaccinated or allow their kids to get vaccinated because they don't want to hand Biden a win, Joey Zoe Artiste tweets, stop calling people who don't think exactly like you idiots. You aren't all-knowing, nor are politicians, scientists, or non-liable pharma companies. I'm sorry, but I gotta say, I'm not rushing to the defense of pharma companies here, but doctors and scientists? Yeah, doctors and scientists know more about communicable diseases and vaccines than everybody else. And with 99% of all COVID-19 deaths now among the unvaccinated, and with the USA once again leading the world in new COVID-19 infections, anyone who can get vaccinated at this point but refuses to do so is an idiot and a danger to themselves and others. And finally, Lisa Brody tweets, Magnum subscriber here. I really appreciate how you and Nancy get new shows in the can for when you take time off. It would be easy to put up a rerun from any of your past 750 plus episodes, but you guys go the extra mile so we get fresh episodes every Tuesday. We love that. Thank you. You're welcome. Nancy deserves most of the credit for keeping the shows coming week after week, more than 90% of the credit, I'd say. But I can't tell you how much it means to both of us, to all of us here at the Savage Lovecast, that people appreciate our efforts to keep the shows coming week after week. All right. Thanks to everybody who posted about the show to your social media this week. We really appreciate it. Help spread the word about the Savage Lovecast. And if you want me to read your tweet on next week's Savage Lovecast, be sure to use the hashtag Savage Lovecast. And now your response calls.
Hi, this is in response to the caller that was talking about threesome with the boyfriend, potential experience because of the caller being bi. Dan's points were all super right on. But as also a bisexual who has what I like to call a dual-logamy kind of relationship going on, like, I have a boyfriend, and then I also have a girlfriend. And the thing is, we kind of, like, my boyfriend doesn't have anything to do with my girlfriend. He just kind of gives me the freedom to have that experience. And after sharing that, I'm just saying, because it seems to me that the fact that your boyfriend seems so controlling in regards to your experience with another woman is a little bit of an orange to red flag to me that if I were you, I would really take note of and try to see if other sort of controlling orange to red flags show up. Because I actually had another boyfriend about 3 years ago who sounded very much like how your boyfriend is, and it ended really badly. He became very toxic and scary. And I know, like Dan said, you're the only one that can really know your boyfriend, but I would just like start taking note of those flags, you know, that he maybe waves that say that he wants to be really controlling of your dynamic with another woman, because you don't need to stand for it. And you can absolutely find an amazing man out there that gives you the freedom to have exactly what you want.
Hi, this is a message for the caller on episode 768, whose wife had lost interest in him. I just want to tell you that my heart goes out to you, and that is such a sad and lonely situation when your partner does not return your affection, whether it be physical or emotional. I recently went through something very similar with my partner, where he was no longer interested in me, and I kind of hounded and begged and tried every angle in every direction for about a year before I gave up. And when I gave up, I told him I gave up. He knew I gave up. It wasn't even a question of will. It was just over. And when I started truly looking out for myself and focusing on myself and not how to get my partner to want me, when I truly embraced myself and wanted myself and actually started seeking outside connections with people that were emotionally intimate, where I intended to take it all the way, my partner snapped back somehow. I don't want to say you should play games with your partner, you should do things to make them jealous, but we're in an open relationship. I'm not super interested in always sleeping with other people, and he's not at all. But when I started actually using the openness of our relationship, somehow I became a hot commodity again to him. So maybe once you truly focus on yourself and just say, you know what, to hell with it, let her do her. I'm going to totally focus on myself and fall in love with someone else physically and emotionally. And she sees that. She sees that you are a commodity. Maybe she'll come around.
I'm calling in response to episode 768, the question about the phrase, you go girl. I feel like you missed something huge and obvious here. The terms boy and girl refer to children, people under the age of 18. So maybe that person was saying, I'm not a girl because she's a woman, or someone who needs a term that's more appropriate to their age.
And we're going to leave it there. Got a question for me or a comment about this week's show? You can and you should use the voice memo app on your phone to record your question or your comment, and then email it to us at voicemail@savagelovecast.com. You can also call us at 206-302-2064 and record your question or your comment. Hump 2021 is going on tour to select cities throughout the United States starting in September. The movies going on tour are the same dirty movies we screened online earlier in the year in the spring. But Hump is much more fun to watch in person in a theater, sitting next to strangers in the dark like your grandparents did when they saw Debbie Does Dallas. So even if you watched it at home, you're going to want to join us at a theater. Go to humpfilmfest.com/tour to find a city near you. And the deadline for submitting your brilliant dirty film for next year's Hump is December 8th. Go to humpfilmfest.com/submit to find out how to get your film into the next festival. Our next Sack Lunch, a monthly online Zoom hangout exclusively for Magnum Savage Lovecast subscribers, is coming up Thursday, August 5th at noon Pacific time. Go to savagelovecast.com to become a Magnum subscriber today. You'll get ad-free, extra-long episodes, more guests, and you can join me for Sack Lunch every month, where Magnum subscribers respond to listener sex questions. Follow me on Twitter at FakeDanSavage. Follow Joan Price on Twitter at Joan Price. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian, and me and the tech savvy at-risk youth and Nancy will all be back at you next week with another installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thank you for downloading.